Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost, and He has great things to say to those that love Him, those that want to hear Him, those that want to know Him. God has something to say. He loves His people. And I want to make an announcement. God loves His people. He loves you. God can do great things through the least of His people. Now, sometimes people, if you're going to follow God, you can't use Satan's mindset at all. Satan, he tried to make himself preeminent over everybody, over God, over all the angels, because he was beautiful and very wise, and God made him so. And his logic can't be used in the kingdom of God. Jesus, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, you can receive God's word, and you receive his, you can live in his presence. And you can, that's what God wanted in the first place. He made us in his image so we could live like he does. He wants us to operate no different. He wants us to take responsibility just like he does. He wants us to love others just like he does. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he had to give people a vitamin B shot. He said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's something that the average guy can understand. Don't treat people worse than how you want to be treated. But that wasn't the ultimate way of God. When Jesus died for us and we had the love of God now, we had an introduction of the agape love of God, then Peter and John taught, love others like Jesus loved you. Jesus told his disciples when he washed their feet to love others just like he loves you. When he first said that he was going to wash their feet, Peter said, "No, not so, Lord. You won't wash my feet." Because Peter was looking at it, he still, that's the worldly mindset. And see, it has to be driven out. People try to follow God without, and they still have residue of Satan's mindset. "You can't wash my feet." Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. Not only my feet, but my head and my hands too." And then Jesus, he wanted to give them an example because Jesus was a leader. And they had been trying to figure out who was going to be the greatest. They always want to know who's going to be the greatest among them. And so, Jesus pointed out something. The leaders of this world exercise dominion over each other, over the people. But he said, watch this. It won't be that way among you. For the greatest of you, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the greatest servant. And, you know, we have to take on the same mind of Jesus, not the mind of the devil. So what happened is they had a visual. They saw Jesus Christ wash their feet, and they loved him. They had seen the crowds flock to him. They saw him heal the whole crowd sometimes. Everybody in the crowd, even the demon-possessed people, walked away clean without demons. And people had their eyes that didn't have eyes. They had hearing where before they didn't have hearing. The lame was walking. And they saw all this. And you know, looking at the magnificence of Jesus' ministry, you know, and then now he wants to wash my feet. Are you kidding me? That it blew their mind. And I can understand that. But see, a lot of people have not taken on the nature and character of God within themselves. See, Jesus, he let the mind of God be in him. We receive the mind of Christ. What the same things Jesus is doing, that's how we're supposed to operate. And then Jesus said he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, having power over people. But I've seen ministries, oh man. I'm glad we don't have peacock feathers. It would be a shame if we had peacock feathers, and you know, that fan would just fly up like a, you know, I'm magnificent. I've seen people acting that in that way. And remember something about the Lord. He said it all along. He hates a proud look. I'll never do that. Now, the times that I said I'll never treat people like I've been treated, because some people enter into pride. And every time people enter into pride, they also enter into fear. And they use fear tactics, and they depend on fear tactics. And their people fear. The people that listen to proud people, they have fear in their hearts. They struggle with it. So, but people that have the love of God, they have no fear. But whenever there's fear, there's pride. And then I was listening to Womack today, and he said that he was talking about pride. Now, pride, he said, when people are shy, that's a form of pride too. See, the Lord taught me this a long time ago. He said exactly what the Lord had taught me years ago. A humble person will do God's will. They're not afraid to do God's will. Like David. You know, he was dedicated to do God's will. Whatever God said, he made sure it happened. And the Lord didn't have to tell him every little detail. He would do it. He knew it was wise to eat the showbread. He knew he had to kill that giant that was defying the Lord and making the armies of Israel afraid. He was anointed to be king. And he didn't say, "Lord, you think I'll kill the giant?" He said, he had a business mind too. He said, "What's going to happen for the man that does this?" He knew he was going to take that giant out. That's why he asked all those questions. He gets his family to be free of taxes. He's going to get he's supposed to marry the daughter of the king and everything. But see, when you're in pride, you don't keep your word. King Saul was supposed to allow David to marry his oldest daughter, but he didn't. And then when he found out that David was wise and he suspected him of being the one that was anointed, because he was an anointed king too, you know, he said, "This is the guy that God's going to replace me with." So he knew this because he was a king too. He had an anointing too. He could figure out, you know, just like King Solomon figured out that the Jeroboam was the one that God anointed to be king over 10 tribes. So kings know things. Understand that anointing is powerful. So both of these men were anointed to be king. So King Saul wanted David to fail. So he gave him Michael to be his wife. But he had to kill 100 Philistines and bring their foreskins. So David did this. Now, then he gave him Michael, hoping that Michael was going to be a spoiled brat and get him killed. Because when you know a parent knows that children, and sometimes children they act spoiled, and a child that's spoiled, they mess things up pretty good. And King Saul knew this. He tried to use Michael as a weapon against David. But she loved David. Even though, you know, a person that's very needy and a spoiled brat, they can, just like Samson's, that Delilah lady that Samson got infatuated with, she urged him every day trying to figure out his power. And she made him wish he was dead. I mean, she just whining and complaining till he caved in. See, this is the mind of King Saul. He figured Michael would be a spoiled brat and cause David to get killed in war or something. Then he'd be able to keep the kingship. But guess what? That's murder. Even because his motives was wrong. And so anyway, and his plot didn't backfire because God is with David. And, you know, the Lord know how to protect his anointed. So, but David shared the mind of Christ when he made decisions. While he was anointed to be king, but he wasn't installed to be king yet. And he recognized King Saul as king. And he was not going to kill him. The Lord delivered King Saul into his hand twice, but he wouldn't kill him. And while he was waiting on God to install him as king, he was still a patriot of Israel. He went around doing what the judges should have did in the first place. He started driving out people that shouldn't be in Canaan land and wiping them out. And so he was wise in all that he did because the mind of the Lord was in him. So when we let that the mind of Jesus be in us, the mind when we operate according to the mind of Jesus, and we don't say it's robbery to be equal with Jesus, because guess what? The word said we're joint heirs with Christ. The Lord expects us to take our place, not just be born again, but be born of God. Let Christ be formed in us, which is submitting to his will, which is being humble. Now, when Andrew Womack said, he talked about a real humble person will honor God in his life and do what God say do. And you'll speak the word over your life. You know, he pointed out how Moses wrote, you know, that he was the meekest man in all the world. Now, you know, we all understand that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. The Lord gave him what to write and he wrote it. He had to write that about himself. See, when you're humble to God, you do what God say do. You're not afraid. You don't have to cower down and act like you're nothing, like cold religion will have you do. You don't have to put God on a faraway pedestal. No, Jesus is our present help in time of need. We're here to take orders from him and do his will in the earth. He said, without me, you can do nothing, but with me, you can. He said, abide in me and I in you. You ask what you will. We have covenant victory. We have covenant victory. We can pray covenant prayers and have covenant victory and have covenant success all throughout our lives if we will only let Christ be formed in us. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Be stirred up in the things of God. Let his mind be in you. Use the authority God gave you, and not only solve your problems, but move Satan out of your way. Just like a snow, you know, the heavy equipment that moves snow, those snow shovels, they do about 60 miles an hour, and they move that snow out of the way so the traffic can roll. Move Satan out of your path. Use your authority. This is being humble to God. Submit your life to God. Give God everything you've got. Let him bless it and give it back to you. I love when Brother Horton said that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you go to my first website, my first audio page, there is a link that says classic. So click on it and listen to it. Everybody needs to hear that one. That's when Brother Horton taught us something. And the Lord gave me that was one of the best words I ever heard. And I thank God for it. It opened my eyes to more. And this is how God helped me do this website in the first place. Take what you got and give it to Jesus. He'll bless it and give it back to you. If the rich young ruler had given Jesus everything he had, we would have been reading about the wisdom of God. So, you know what? If he had obeyed God and wrote about what happened, he may have been one of the writers of a book or one of the books or something. And we might be reading his writing just like we read Paul's writing. And God will have more millionaires and billionaires because the principles. See, we're heavenly equipped, full of life. We bring life to dead things. We're made in the image and likeness of God. So when we agree with it, you have to agree with it and walk in it. You do it. You will find out that you can't fail in business. You will find out if you do it God's way, if you really do it biblically, your marriage will grow. Your relationships among your friends will grow. I've witnessed this too many ways, not just in my life, but people who invite God in their heart and live according to his word. They do these things. They get a job, they work that job, and they get promoted. And they cause the whole thing to be promoted. And sometimes they don't get promoted because that's what happened to me. I was too good of a mechanic And they wanted me on the floor. When it was time for them to promote me, they promoted somebody else. But guess what? I have covenant abilities. So I wanted to serve God. So I tried to be an asset to the shop, because I love everybody that works there. And I gave everybody the best advice I had. I gave it my best. I tried hard to make things go right. And things didn't always go my way, but see, we bring life to things. Sometimes if you do what you're supposed to, see, God will reward you anyway when man won't. You can't trust man to reward you. And see, when you love God, you don't need platforms and of man. You don't need recognition. You don't need all that junk. And the reason I said junk is because it gets in the way. See, if you gotta do something and have some kind of entourage and recognition and a following, why are you doing it in the first place? I serve the living God. I don't need props and crutches. I'm complete in Him. See, that's the kind of mind you have to have. When Jesus walked the earth, He wasn't trying to get people to make Him some kind of king. In fact, they tried to make Him a king. He said, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have nothing to do with me. And they left. See, He didn't have the mind of the devil. He had the mind of God. And we need the mind of Jesus. Just so we can be. I had a message one time saying, I want to be just like God. and it wasn't with Satan's sorry attitude. He wanted to replace God. No, God made me in His image, and I want to live like Him. I want everything that I do to be approved of God. I want everything I do to honor God. I want my whole life to be worship. And all I got to do is yield to the Lord, and He'll cause me to be covenant appropriate. See, that's what it's all about. Take what you have. I took my job, and I gave it to God. He blessed it and gave it back to me. And I worked that job. I did the same thing with my business. I do the same thing with this ministry. If you saw my garage, it's not the most fantastic looking garage. Everything in it I use. But it serves a purpose. See, Jesus, He walked the streets. He went where it was necessary. In the nicks and crannies, in the pig trails. He went with where the people was. And the Lord sent Him to the most strategic people to talk to. He even went to Samaria, where they were considered outcasts, and He embraced them and taught them. And they loved Him. See, God don't just go where the millionaires are. He go where people who want to know God are. He go where they are. He loves all of His people. See, you can live at the bottom of the world or the top of the world. The Lord, in the day of visitation, follow God. When you finally get an understanding of who He is, obey Him. Submit to Him. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Wash your brother's feet. Let Jesus wash you in His blood. Believe on Him. Teach what Jesus did for you. Share your testimony when it's covenant appropriate. It's very important. And see, that's how you give the Holy Spirit something to work with. I thought about something on the way when I was going to pick my daughter up today, that a lot of times, you know, the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us into all truth. And there's a problem. Too many people are not talking about what the Lord will give them to do. They're not, you know, the Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. The problem is, people are not acknowledging the Lord. They make decisions, never considering running it by the Lord first. I'm not talking about cheap decisions. I'm talking about major ones. But the Word said, acknowledge Him in all your ways. What are my ways? What am I going to do? I have a decision. I'm going to buy a vehicle. What's the best vehicle, my Lord? If you just acknowledge him, he know, he can see through time. You might have your mind on a truck when a minivan would serve you better for this season. You might have your mind on a minivan and the Lord know that you're not going to need a minivan yet. Because in his plan for you, your children won't be born for 10 more years. So you can buy something else that you need more. But see, when you got it, when you're trying to figure it all out, you know, people take, they want to have children. They don't even run that by the Lord. They don't consider the timing of God. They don't know what's around the corner in their own life. And they go to the doctor and get people to, you know, help them be fertile or whatever. All you have to do is acknowledge him in all your ways. What people don't do. I'm not talking about the world. The world do the world. I'm talking about Christian people. They don't run things by the Lord first. They find a house they like and buy it. They don't ask the Lord. Too many people don't. They don't acknowledge him on anything. It's not even in their wheelhouse to even ask. And I've seen this with my own eyes. The Lord tell the pastor to do something, without praying, without any, they have no reserves about giving the pastor, telling the pastor how he ought to do what he do, without prayer. Didn't even think to pray about it, and telling the man to do something that's different than what God just gave him, or telling him how to do what God just gave him. And this, see, that's the wrong mind. Satan don't pray about things either. Think about it. He just think about what he want. He put himself first all the time, and he make the biggest messes. And see, when it's all over and everybody that's going to hell is there after the great white throne judgment, they're all down. Now, everybody that's going to ever go to hell is in hell. They can't come back. They know they blew it. And they're going to narrowly look at the devil and say, is this the man that caused all this trouble? And tore up the nations. Made a fool out of everybody. See, when you share his mindset, he can easily influence you. But when you have the mind of Christ, you can do what can't be done. You can do what a normal man can't do. You can do what you normally could not do. Now, I'm going to get to what God gave me before I started all this. I said all that to say this. See, that God always has a remnant. In every generation, he has a remnant that will obey him. Solomon talked about 1 of 1,000. Job talked about 1 of 1,000 that would love and obey God, the remnant. Isaiah talked about the tenth that would return and be received or eaten by God. Because God, he depicted Israel as a grape vineyard. But they were wild grapes, so he had to blind them in chapter 6. See, that ultimatum ended when King Uzziah died. And then Isaiah asked the question, how long would this blindness and this deafness and their fat heart exist? He said, till the houses are evacuated, torn down and burned up, you know, to people are scattered away. But he said a tenth would return. So God always has a remnant. In every generation, he has people that love him. So when the enemy rise up in the judges, their pattern was they follow God, then the leaders would die, then they backslide to the worldly ways, and then the enemy would rise up, and then they cry out to God in fear, and ask God to save them, and he'd raise up a judge to help them. So let's look at verse chapter 10, because this is the scenario that kept happening over and over again. Judges 10 verse 1, And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel Tola the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair of Gilead and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities which are called Havoth-Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Cammon. So let's count these judges. All right, you had Pua. After Abimelech, you had Pua. That's one. He judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, Gileadad, and judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons, rode on 30. Now, he was an interesting man because his sons followed him. And they followed his ways. So that's two. And then he died. So 22 years and 23 years. 23 and 22. So you got 50 years. All right. Then the great leader dies. Now watch this. Verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now watch this one though. This is an attack from the devil. Satan said, now, I'm going to wipe them out this time. They didn't just serve one false god. Look what they did. Children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served one, Balaam, that's one, Ashtaroth, that's two, the gods of Syria, that's three kingdoms where they serve, you know, anyway, and the gods of Zidon, that's four, the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, that's six, and the gods of the Philistines, that's seven. And then it says, they forsook the Lord and served him not. So, they serve seven types of gods, which and many others, because it said the gods of Moab, the gods of Zidon, the gods of the Philistines. So they just buck wild now. So the enemy he launched this vicious attack, the most vicious attack he could possibly come up with. Again, see, this is why I'm reading this. When you have people that love God, and they're the remnant, they care about God, they love God, they have the mind of the Lord, just like the mind of Jesus, and they do what David would have done. You have a generation after them. If they don't receive that, if they don't learn to walk in that glory, if they don't learn to receive that mindset of Jesus, if they don't have that same kind of love and passion for God, then they will turn. I've seen so many preachers' children, you know, that sometimes the preachers' children don't take on the ways of their father. And then when he died, they just go buck wild. They never took on that love of God. See, when you have a person that loves God, you can learn so much from them if you just embrace them and walk in their ways. Let the things of God inspire you. That's what I did. My parents inspired me, and other people watered the word and gave me more knowledge and inspired me. But my foundation of inspiration was my parents. I saw them do the work of the ministry and not complain. And they did it over all of my life until they passed and went on to be with the Lord. So, if children don't always acknowledge, you know, we learn things from our parents without, I never told them how they really impacted me. Not enough anyway. But when I was much older, I saw it for what it was. Nevertheless, I made a lot of godly decisions because of them. And so you have to carry the torch. But see, people that rebel against the light, this is what they do. Verse 6. Now watch what happens. They're serving all these miserable gods. They are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, naked. And they can't tell that they're way out of bounds. All right, verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan. in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, and so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalah." And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites? And the Ammonites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more." See, the devil will raise up. This is his trump card. He was waiting on this opportunity for them to go backsliding into the vicious ways of darkness. And then he sent an all-out attack war from every side. And now the Lord don't want nothing to do with him. And see, this is real what he said. He said, "Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more." God told the truth. He said, "Go cry to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned." Now they're getting God's attention. They're admitting they're wrong. "Do thou with us whatsoever seemeth good to thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." But they put away the strange God from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Now they're repenting, doing what they were taught to do. They knew to do this all along. Now they're doing it. And the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? And he shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead."